Today, we continue our monthly look at RNIB's employment service. It's there to help blind and partially sighted people into employment. It can help people remain in employment when they begin to lose their sight. And it also works to influence employers to show them the benefits of employing someone with a visual impairment. Now, today we are going to Northern Ireland. We're going to learn about a new project called iWork2. We'll also hear from Daniel, who is one of the participants in the course. But let's start, first of all, with Anne Cahill, who can tell us a little bit more. What is it and how does it help people with sight loss?
It's about pre-employment and it's aimed at those basically of working age. So anybody age 16 plus, right up to retirement if they're interested in getting back into work. The programme is only available in Northern Ireland, so to be eligible for a place in the programme, people need to be currently unemployed but actively seeking to get into employment or further education. The programme's delivered on a one-to-one basis, so we cover a full range of pre-employment support from CV development, to interview skills, to job search, to things around upskilling our participants that are coming through, and also support many of them to maybe retrain, maybe people that have ended up, they've lost a job because it wasn't practically and it wasn't safe for them to continue in that role. So we try to put them on the path to try and get them retrained and into alternative employment. It's very much based on a holistic approach. Confidence building is just crucial. Connecting our participants in the programme with communities, signposting them for additional support at times. Part of the programme is the work placements. So again, we work with employers to try and get our participants some kind of work experience, especially for people that haven't had the experience of real life work. An extra addition to the programme has been the introduction of a fortnightly drop-in. And the purpose of this was just really about making sure that the participants, whilst they're on the programme, they can get that extra wee bit of focus support. So it might be because they don't have the assistive technology at home or the software for their computer to access information or job search or, you know, follow through on different elements of the programme that they're getting support with. So the drop-in allows that to happen.
A lot of support there, Anne, for the individuals themselves. You know, you're really taking them almost back to basics, as you say, that holistic approach really. But what about the employers themselves, Anne? You mentioned that they're involved in this. What kind of reaction do you get from them?
It can certainly open their eyes to realising the whole thing about employing someone with sight loss, that it's no different to employing somebody with full sight. The whole thing around minor adjustments, it's very often things like ensuring the computer has the like of Zoom text to help the person access information a lot easier. Even the layout of the office, adjusting the lighting in the office can make such a difference. So these are things that aren't costly to the employer. When we're working with employers, we offer the free visual awareness training. And again, it's always interesting to see how little many employers know about sight loss. And I think one thing in particular, which I feel always seems to surprise employers, that they're shocked at the fact that there's only around 4% of people with visual impairment have absolutely no sight at all. Danny's employer had made comments around, you know, that he was actually one of the best interviews they'd ever had. They never had a blind or partially sighted employee with them before. And it was so easy to slot him in to their workplace.
Also joining us, we have Daniel, who took part in the project. Daniel, perhaps you could start by telling us how you got involved.
Certainly, Alan. I started with the project as whilst I was working as a trainee grade scheme within the RNIB itself. I started off with a bit of CV writing. Even though I wasn't in employment at the time, we decided it would be beneficial to update my CV. It had been a number of years since I'd done that, so I also did a wee bit of careers advice in terms of future employment, and then as it turned out, my return to study of architecture with Ulster University. I also got to do the ITQ level one, so that's IT qualification level one. So got me familiar again with programs such as Microsoft Word and Excel and PowerPoint. And we also rolled in a wee bit of touch typing into that as well.
It sounds as if you've done quite a lot through the programme. Do you think it was beneficial revisiting some of the things? I know you mentioned your CV and perhaps just brushing up your IT skills as well.
Definitely, just to keep on top of any wee changes, such things such as you no longer need to include your date of birth on a CV. That was news to me. In terms of software, I would use Zoom Text quite a lot, so that can be challenging enough navigating with that on full screen. So in terms of operating on a PC, it helps to know the wee shortcuts and all this tips and tricks. Yeah.
Interesting you mentioned Zoom Text, which is a screen magnification package. Did that prove helpful because you mentioned architecture?
Yes, I'm resuming my studies in architecture, as I said, with Ulster University here in Belfast. I'm in my third year of the programme, and myself and the lecturers, when I started, it was, we'll go in and just tick every challenge as it comes and see what solutions we can produce. So I would use a lot of digital methods. We do hand drawing and model making and things like that as well, which I'll definitely attempt with varying results. But digital is when I'm in my element. So using Zoom Text, just to be able to see what's happening on screen, that all my measurements are lining up and things are as they should be, it's an invaluable tool.
People would probably be wondering how someone with a visual impairment could look at architecture as a future career. But you also attended some training in London around this.
I did indeed. The scheme itself, it's the second year of a pilot scheme at the moment, with intentions to form into a foundation degree in architecture. This is with the Bartlett School in London. It was an interesting week, 15 participants taking part, all with sight loss, and only of which maybe four or five of us actually had any previous experience within architecture. And this is all run by some sighted and some visually impaired lecturers and mentors, one of which was Chris Downey. He's a blind architect from California. And we also had Duncan Meerding, who's a blind furniture maker from Tasmania, along with project coordinators from the Disordinary Architecture Programme were also there. So all these influences from all these people with so many different backgrounds, all with sight loss in common, to look at the field of architecture and see how we could address that, or how we could develop that to bring more people with sight loss into that field.
It sounds like the support from RNIB in attending the Bartlett Schools really cemented your kind of determination to make architecture your future.
It definitely has. Obviously, I'd done 2 years of architecture study before this, but that week, I think, gave me a fresh perspective on both sight loss and architecture and how they can combine, because up to that point, I was more or less figuring things out in my own head with some advice from a few other people, you know, colleagues within RNIB and other people.
Would you say, Daniel, that iWork 2 from RNIB has been a big factor in getting you on this and getting you the support and the confidence to take on architecture?
I'd say it has, being on that programme, but along with obviously my own experience within RNIB, working with them and volunteering with them, it's all coming together and it's definitely improved my abilities.
In terms of the impact then of the project, what's that been like?
It's been absolutely fantastic. Recruitment's been ongoing and we're never short of participants for the programme either. We are limited to 21 places on our programme per year. Out of those 21 people, we tried getting 8 of those people into employment and a further 8 into further education. In terms of the impact over the last month alone, there's 3 of our participants secured employment. Another 2, with our support and the support of the employment advisors, were able to get registered with the college to complete their essential skills. And then another 2 of our participants are actually now moving into third level education this year, which is absolutely fantastic. But again, I mentioned earlier just the holistic approach to programmes. So in addition to all of those practical skills, it's about their confidence, which is absolutely massive, their self-esteem, their motivation, helping those with sight loss to sometimes start to rebuild their life after their diagnosis and helping them to look at future possibilities, pave the path for future maybe work, or in many cases, helping to upskill or retrain participants. Maybe those that have maybe lost a job because of their sight loss diagnosis.
No doubt then, Anne, that the project has been a great success and I'm sure will continue to be. But if people would like to find out more information about this, it is, as we'll just mention again, in Northern Ireland. What's the best way to do that?
The easiest way to get in contact would be through the helpline number, which is 0303 123 9999. But equally, if people want to email us directly through the Employment Team NI, which is employmentteamni at rnib.org.uk.
Well, best of luck with the rest of the programme. For the moment, to Anne and to Daniel, thanks for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Thank you.